We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the third chapter. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer. Akavya ben Mahalalel says, Akavya ben Mahalalel was one of the most pious Jews that ever lived. The Mishnah in Tractate Eduyo says that all of the Jewish people, when they'd enter in Shalosh Hagalim, in the three festivals, you didn't have a person as pious as Akavya ben Mahalalel. So compared to all of the Jewish people. So he says the following. Histakel. What does the word histakel mean? To take a look with intent, right? You're not allowed to be mistakel, to take a look with intent, even at a pinky of a woman. You're allowed to see her, but you're not allowed to look and take in her beauty. Histakel, unless she's your wife, obviously, right? Histakel vishloshan dvarim. Take note, focus on three things, venatavali de'avera, and you won't come to the hands of sin. Da me'ayin bata, ula'an ata olech, v'lifnei mi ata atid liten din v'cheshbon. You should know. So initially he said, take a look, focus on. Now he says, you should know. Where do you come from? Where are you going? And before whom are you going to give an accounting? Judgment and an accounting. Me'ayin bata, where do you come from? Mitipas rucha, from a soiled drop. That's the seed. Where are you going to? To dust, to worms, to vermin. Before whom will you give judgment and an accounting? Before the King, King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. So we say this Mishnah as part of the funeral process as well. Yeah. Da me'ayin bata, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, uvizman shetistakel me'ayin bata, and when you, so Rabbeinu Yonah unites the da, the no, with the tistakel, take a look with intent. When you look with intent where you've come from, hamachshava tigrom lecha liot shval ruach, just that thought will cause a person to have humility, v'tinatzel mimidat ha'gaava, and that's how a person can be saved from arrogance, sh'ne'emar ba'tohavat shem kol gevah lev. That the verse says, Hashem finds it revolting when a person is arrogant in his heart. Where are you going? You're headed to a place of dirt, vermin, and worms. If a person thinks, I'm only going to create more worms, so then it helps him take control of his desires. He doesn't think about having more to eat and more, because it's all going to be more worms in the end. Gam kolosho vekavot tivze beinecha v'chol tova tahavil ki hevel ki akol hevel urut ruach. And a person has to work on attaining the perspective that wealth and honor should be mocked in his eyes, because all of it is vain, as we see in Ecclesiastes and Kohelet. And that's why King Solomon compiled the work of Ecclesiastes, in order to help discourage us from this focus on the worldly pursuits. And that's why Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, begins with saying things are vain, so that when a person thinks about all the benefits he can attain and all the honor he can attain in this world, he'll realize it is vain. And after he spent the whole book telling you how pursuit of worldly goods is vain, he concludes the book and says, "Sof davar hakol nishma." Ultimately, you've heard it all. Et Elokim yirav et mitzvotav shemo ki zeh kol ha'adam. Bottom line, be a God-fearing person, maintain the mitzvos, because that's all there is to humanity. That's the conclusion of Kohelet. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, that's the message of this Mishnah as well. Where you've come from, that helps you be humble. Where are you going to, that helps you keep your desires in check. Before whom will you ultimately give a judgment and an accounting? The purpose of creation is so that we fear Hashem. Okay? So that's...
You need a good rabbi for this, or you can get the wrong interpretation so easily. You could think like some of the other spiritual things, the best thing in this world is to get out of it, to remove yourself from anything physical, which, you know, it would be meditate on some mountaintop all the time, Also, when we say, you know, we're going to worms, if you don't, the body's going to worms and don't feed that. But you need, again, if you want, if there are people who take that the wrong way, they'll just say, well, grab all I can in this world because there is nothing after this, you know. I'm just saying, you can easily get misled. Certainly the first part of that, not the first part about this world, each we can be buried, tomorrow we die, we're just going to be food for the worms. You better know that this is just a shell, and that's not the real you. Once you identify as you, the real you, being food for the worms, you're in trouble. And the same thing here with what he said, you know, you focus on, like, Kohelet. You know, and I love Kohelet. He did it here with Ari and everything, but, you know, the idea that, you know, I don't find it depressing. I mean, I think it's, you need, like, when you do someone to give it over, it says, make yourself a rab, because, you know, this world, the grossness of this world, and the animalistic desires that we all have, and this and that, but so unique seeming about Judaism, it does not tell us to go on that mountaintop. It says, marry, see the woman, just don't look at others and do that. And that's something that you need to explain. Coming from not from this world, you could easily say, you could pick up this book, which you see people do. They pick up the Bible, and then you, we'll rest on the side. That's Shabbat, you know, whatever. They won't see it right. So I think it's great, but needs explanation. I have it here, thank God. I have it, but, you know, I think that it's dangerous that, you know, you can misinterpret things easily.
I hear. Okay.
Most spiritual practices, you know, the idea of this world is to get out of it. Not to infuse it with holiness.
So I think that the key to understanding Akavya ben Mahalalel is he's giving us a tool to take control so that we don't end up coming to the hands of sin.
Yeah.
Meaning, Rabbeinu Yonah takes it a step further. He's saying, the whole purpose of life is to be a God-fearing person. Akavya ben Mahalalel didn't say, I'm describing the purpose of life. He said, I'm going to give you a tool so as not to come to the hands of sin.
And when you look at a woman, it's not your wife, which in this day and age is more difficult even because, you know, it's a bus stop sign or whatever. But the idea is, well, it's a little different because it's not a real person. But I have intent.
Right.
That's good. I mean, it's, but again, it asks, which is Judaism, it asks a lot of people. The Rav Soloveitchik, right? That purpose of Judaism, purpose of religion is to make man happy. The purpose of Judaism is to make man great.
Very nice.
Tribute to it. It's great.
Very nice.
You are commanded to the simcha, but, to, you know, most people would not think of, you know, the idea of the intent to, she may be very much stressing, you know, and acting, you know, in a way to get people to look. And you have to do the opposite. You have to try and see the nefesh there, or the neshama, whatever it is that you can, and recognize there's a garlic spark here, and downplay the intent. That's asking a lot.
Yeah.
It's great, but it's, you know, it's very flattering that the rabbis and Hashem, you know, have more faith in most people than we have in ourselves. Make demands.
Yeah. So, back to the mission of Shnei Miata Atid Li Ten Din Vecheshbon Shanivraim Lo Nivruach Lira Et Hashem. God created us to be a God-fearing people. How can man sin if he thinks for a minute that he's going to have to pay a price at the end, that he'll have to give an accounting? And so a person, when he thinks about that, will say, I'm not interested in paying the price at the end. When a person has the test, he will be able to overcome and not sin because he'll be embarrassed if he thinks about it. He's about to give us an allegory. I would like to give you an allegory of my own, which I think is very simple but very to the point. You have a pregnant woman, and she's sitting at the Seder, and everyone's saying, "Ooh, this Malaga wine is great." So now she's tempted to say, "Could you pour me a cup?" If she's going to drink 4 cups of Malaga wine, that might be dangerous to the baby. So at the moment, she might be tempted. Everyone's saying how delicious it is. But if she thinks of the outcome, if she thinks of the idea of what it means to, God forbid, have a baby with birth defects, if we only think beyond the moment, so then it's not so difficult to overcome the desires of the moment. So I often think about that. I find that to be a very simple, potent example. That before a person is faced with temptation, if a person would only think this action could cause, we find it easy to think that drinking wine during pregnancy can cause birth defects. But do we think about the idea that maybe speaking Lashon Hara can also do that? We don't think of it that way.
We don't see the results. Although if you look at the world, you can't even make a case where we see a family, but when Lashon Hara does. But it's, like you say, to really point the babies who have Filagol syndrome, to point the, even though people do smoke heavily, you could still point the people in hospital or the Lashon Hara, which is equally true about more so, you can't, can't point them, but it's interesting.
You can't point it, but I'm saying that's why I think the example is potent.
Yeah.
Let's think of where this leads us.
A science fiction book where they had a society, there was only one penalty, painless death, for anything, any rule, and they were incredibly law-abiding, but there was something off. In other words, if people know the consequences, political things, people on the right say we need a very strong government because we're in a neighborhood where our neighbors will leave us alone only if they are afraid of the consequences.
Yeah. Mashal lemelech shenichnas adam lefanav. What's similar to a king? Someone comes before the king. If the person is found to be deceitful or lying, he'll be very embarrassed. How much more so before the King, King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. We also have to realize that when we're still connected to the corporal body, so to some degree we're not so embarrassed. Because we're still very attracted, and we have all these excuses. People say all kinds of funny excuses they're going to say when they get to Shemayim. There are all kinds of funny lines. I don't want to go to heaven because all my friends are going. Yeah.
Like you say, you can rationalize. You might be able to make a case you will be the one who gets lung cancer if you smoke. Because some people do smoke 2 packs a day and don't get lung cancer. And you might not be the one who has a problem with a child, even if you have a few glasses of wine. Our parents, we didn't know about such things. You can rationalize. But at a spiritual level, if you're developed, how can you? If you said Lashon Hara, this caused damage, what can you say? Like you say, the funny things about my friends are there, but you ask them, okay. You want to go to Damascus Gate and hang out there at 2 in the morning? I don't want to go there. But hell, that's okay. You make it real. There's nothing you can say if you sit one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
No one can tell you if there is such a place that they want to be there. If there is such a time, it's giving the accountant that I want to be judged for this. So you're right. If you have it in front of you, it's a good tool. But somehow.
So he says, but the shame of the soul when it's not tainted by the attitudes of the body is much greater. Because the nature of the body is that it causes us to forget. Even if a person does something disgusting and he's embarrassed from other people, after a year or two, everyone forgets and he's no longer embarrassed. And even though he might not forget it, but being that it's old, so he's a little bit less embarrassed. Time has passed.
You taught us that. Remember, we're just learning about that before we say Shema. may we not feel shame for all eternity.
Yeah.
That's it, seemingly. Because your soul has to deal with what you see. That's powerful.
Because the nature, the corporealistic nature to forget, so to speak, fuses with the soul, with the nature of the soul. Even though our body doesn't overpower our soul, it's not like we can forget it completely. Al kol panim itgaber alav litiyashen hadavar shu ktzat hashichacha shemesir rov habusha. Nonetheless, it does mix in a little bit of forgetfulness, helps us overcome the shame, which is not good for us. I'm saying it's a weakness. Yeah.
Hashem created the ability somehow to forget, because there are some positive things. You know, God forbid someone goes through the most horrendous traumas and this and that. You don't want to, right?
Ach biyot hanefesh levada en shichah lefaneah. But when the soul is alone without the body, it doesn't forget a thing. The soul is pure. It has nothing of the physical nature to it. And when a person's soul becomes separate from the body, so then the shame continues. Then there's real shame. The same shame as the first minute the soul comes before its creator. That same intense shame holds on forever. Let's just finish the line. And that's what our sages said. Woe to that shame that's yet to come. That's why we pray, we should not be shamed for eternity. Because a byproduct of our transgressions is that we will be shamed forever in the world to come. And lachen al kol panim amaleh libo dvarim elu lo yavol de'avira. That's why if a person at least thinks about this, so then he won't come to transgress. If a person can think about that, that helps him overcome, again, the desire of the moment, which is usually the great cause for transgression.
You think that, you know, even though it says eternity, since there are very few people who live a sin-free existence,